Hello, everybody. Welcome to my home. This is the Gingerbread Man. I'm sitting here today with a very good friend of mine, Mr. Micah. We're going to discuss some topics and just let's talk about life, man. So, Micah, who are you?
Micah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yes.
What do you think about art?
Too much. I think it's a lot. What do you think about art?
I think art...
Wait, you need this.
Art, for me, is any form of expression that we use to put something that, like, I don't like the word unique because I'm not sure how much anything is unique in the world, but we have this capacity to take a thought and express it, or take a feeling and express it. And that could be done in many ways. You know, there's people who, we have music, and then we have spoken word, I would consider my form of art, you know, the way that we can put together words, you know, there's a placement. So maybe art is taking something very unoriginal, like all these little pieces, and then putting them together in a way that can make that sort of weird. I don't know. I might be rambling. So would
make
you,
that kind of a consensus. I understand what you're saying.
Would you consider literature art the way that I do? Would you consider the spoken word or even the written word, like in all of its capacity, you know, would you consider that artistic?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. What are some authors that have moved you? Like what's some good books that have pushed you or made you think in weird different ways throughout your life? Like
the Bible.
All right. So why?
I mean, I guess it's pretty influential, right?
It's definitely moved the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's the bestseller number one, you know, ever technically. Right. At least the King James Version, I think.
Yeah.
Sold the most. Something like well over some 7 billion copies or some shit.
Some billions.
Billions of copies.
Bullshit.
Yeah. I do know it's like the most popular book in the world. It's also, I think, one of the most violent books in the world.
Huh. And why would you consider it violent?
Well, I mean, I think religion has consequences on our society that are obviously pretty deep in general. So I'd say one of the most like contextually important books would be like the Bible, or at least from what I've like read in my time, in terms of how it affects people. Would the Bible be considered art, or would it be a historical document, or is it philosophy?
Is there a line? Can philosophy not be artistic? At least in the way that I would consider expression. When I'm sitting with, especially a very, I guess I hate the word unique, but some philosophers regurgitate, and then there's some philosophies that are so abstract that it's hard to even get a pin on them. Like Wittgenstein would be a great example, where you have all these people who have read Ludwig von Wittgenstein, and you have one person's interpretation of the exact same piece would be the exact opposite of somebody else's because it's so abstract that it's hard to even consider. Like Kant, you know.
Yeah, I was about to say, I've had a lot of fucking arguments about Kant before. And then, like,
That's the unique
Kierkegaard
factor.
I get into, like, a lot of disagreements about.
That's a good one. Yeah. And then regurgitator, the one that's always pissed me off, would be Eckhart Tolle. Tolle. A lot of people like him. He has this book, I think it's called The Power of Now or something.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
But you know, when I'm reading through Eckhart, you know, it's all just regurgitated information where as I'm reading it, I'm like I'm pinning the ideas to that thinker. At least the thinker that first approached me with that idea.
Yeah.
You know, so even philosophy in that way. Wow, is everybody got to be walking around right now?
True. Yeah.
It's usually not this loud. This is just extra.
Oh, no. It's called ambiance. Yeah.
But, so I would even say philosophy is artistic. And so when it comes to...
That's the thing about art and artistic is that it's an adjective and a noun.
Here's my question back to the Bible, considering that the Bible is not an English tome. You know, like, it's not... There's no segment of the Bible that was originally English, I would hazard to guess. So even if the historical book itself is a historical document, the translator who does the translation, when you have all these different translations of the exact same text, like when I got that Camus book for my birthday, you know, like, I think I got it as The Stranger by Camus. But I already had one. But what I thought was thrilling was that I got a new translation, so that when I got them next together, they're basically two different books. So is the translator's job, would you consider that artistic when it comes to taking something from a different language and putting it into a new language with that subjectivity involved? That's an artistic move.
But it's, the thing is, there's subjectivity involved, but the intention of that translation is to be as accurate to the original, you know, document, right? So it's like, I think it ends up being artistic because of each individual person's interpretation, but is the actual thing itself artistic?
Because the words don't match.
Yeah.
There's words in this language that do not.
Yeah, and so they have to approximate.
They have to make it up.
They have to approximate. Yeah, like it's like English to Japanese, or Japanese to English is one of the most convoluted translations to do. Like, I watch a bunch of anime, and like anime's like dubs and subs and anime are like a topic for people who watch anime, because it's very interesting, and like there's a lot of really just language in general is really pretty fascinating, like to me at least, as someone who can't speak another language fluently. It's a crazy little bird you got in your pocket there.
I know, it's just very unfortunate. So let's dig into that more.
Worst things have happened.
Let's dig into that more. So I've noticed that I cannot have subtitles on to a dubbed anything, and I haven't been able to watch much anime lately, but I've been watching a lot of live action, like Korean TV that's very high actiony, so it's kind of like a lot of those animes,
TV's crazy, yeah.
The animes that are being turned into those live plot, so they're real characters, and you have that same sort of situation where the material is itself not English. And I can listen to a dub overplay and hear that, or I can do the subtitles.
Yeah.
But I cannot do the English dub and have the subtitles on, because there's so much confliction. It's always so fucked up.
You know, you mean like with the overlay with the video and stuff?
Any language. Yeah, I gotcha. Any language. Yeah, like the subtitles and the English dub, they're never fucking the same. Ever.
I haven't thought about that. I don't think I've ever had a problem with that. That's interesting.
It irritates me because I'm hearing it and then I'm reading it at the same time, and it's like there's two different brains going.
Yeah, I could see that. That's too much.
It's weird.
It's too much. That's like ribbing your stomach, patting your head or whatever.
Okay. That's a good one.
I remember when I used to play Xbox before I smoked weed. I had a water bottle that would sit with me, or I'd like be drinking some fucking Mountain Dew or some bullshit, and I would always like gargle and like slurp up fucking water and like pretend to smoke weed to like mock everybody that I would play with. Because like when you're fucking 13, you play Xbox, you're like playing with fucking, you know, like 18 to fucking 25 year old dudes who are just like, you know, yelling racist slurs.
Or just dropping F-bombs.
And yeah, all the time. Streams. Yeah, just, you know, fucking killing people in Call of Duty and doing shit. But I always think about that every time someone smokes a bong, just because it's such a specific noise.
You know? It is.
It's almost like ASMR. You're
And like, we're in, we live in Colorado, like, And at first I felt kind of weird about doing it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, but, hopefully the feds don't listen to this.
Well, fucking first, I doubt it, you know?
You never know, man. They got some pretty good
maybe one day, computers out there. But still, what would be the extent of what they could do here? Are they going to put me down because of federal regulation? Because
they're going to recruit. They're going to recruit your kiddo. Oh. And they're going to make him a double agent. And he's going to record you for years.
Oh, yeah.
Gather evidence. But
my son is never around any of it.
I know, but never. He doesn't have to be. He just needs, you know,
yeah.
Little plant here. Like, I don't know. When's the last time you changed your pillowcase? When did you look inside your pillow ever? Huh? A little microphone could fit in there. 10 years down the line, you know, he's got you dead to rights. You're in Guantanamo and you have no other options. What are you going to do?
Because my son...
Just because you smoked weed on a podcast.
Now my kid's a spy for
and now
the
your kid's
CIA.
A spy for the CIA.
Yeah. That's terrible.
But at least he has a good life. He'd probably get salary.
Because of Guantanamo.
Yeah, I could see it.
That's terrifying.
He has the arms for it.
That's a pretty bad, scary plot.
No, I think it would be good.
For fear. He's pretty strong in it.
Yeah, but... It could be like a double twist, you know, where he like he's actually just putting you in there so you guys can pull off like a really elaborate heist or something. You know, bust out like a famous bank robber and then go steal the crown jewel in DC or whatever that thing is, the blue diamond thing.
The
Hope Diamond.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, Hope Diamond. Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, make a ring out of it.
Yeah.
Give it to Beyonce.
That's a future. Well, at this point, Beyonce is like 80, right?
No, so she's probably so like he's 30 just gold or something.
She's probably 30 in the future.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean...
So after the Bible, what's your next favorite book?
I really don't know. There's a lot of books. I could probably name a few that are really important.
Do it. Spit them out.
Well, I don't know. Captain Underpants. Okay. Really good.
All right.
That's very crucial.
For humor standpoint.
Tao is very good.
The Tao. What book? The Tao Te Ching?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Probably the most important philosophy I've read is probably like Nietzsche. Most of Nietzsche's stuff. Most of Camus' stuff. And then... Something really interesting is the Stoic Bible, and Stoicism in general is really interesting.
The Stoic Bible? What the fuck is the Stoic Bible?
I can't remember off the top of my head who exactly wrote it, or if it, I think it might just be like a general collection
of just Stoic
principles.
Thinkers.
Yeah. Well,
there's like, a bunch of Stoics.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, there are, yeah. There was like a common philosophy. It kind of predated,
Okay, so...
Socrates and like the Plato's king, more
the modernization. The person who started with that Stoicism comes from is there's a man named Zeno. So Zeno.
How are you talking about this?
Zeno is pre-Socratic by probably.
Yeah.
It's very shady when it comes to these thinkers, but they're thinking probably about 200 to 300 years.
Can I interject really quick?
Sure.
Do you know when in the timeline Aristotle was doing stuff
after Socrates?
So that's when.
But it's shady. So a lot of people, sort of stuff, a lot of people say that Aristotle was a direct student to Socrates. Well, or not? No. Plato. So Plato was.
Yeah.
Plato was Socrates's. He listened to Socrates, but it's actually
Plato's
not.
Interesting.
There's not a lot of direct actual evidence that would say that Plato was under a tutelage to Socrates. Socrates was a man lover for sure, and he's often portrayed in these like.
You say man.
Yeah. So, but he also had a wife and like 10 kids. So it's like,
yeah, you know, it was crazy back in the day. They were doing things.
But he liked young boys. So it's highly likely that Plato was one of these young men and these huge clouds of boys that were actually listening to Socrates. Mm-hmm. So when Socrates was put to death, Socrates died when he was about 80 something or late 70s through 80s, somewhere in that. So he's very old. Plato is basically in his early 20s. Was probably 21 or 22.
Gotcha.
Now, also consider that most of Socrates' work happened 20 to 30 years before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time that he was in his 70s, he was already pretty old. So it's not like Plato was like a direct contemporary of Socrates. But Plato sets up this academy called the Academia or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so from his academy, Aristotle attended this academy. But when Aristotle was at Plato's academy, it's one of those same situations where by the time he was attending it, Plato was already basically gone.
Is that a book, The Academy?
I don't
Or think is there so. Something?
There's one called The Republic. Maybe you think of The
Republic. maybe that's it.
But
that's when I zoned out a lot in class.
Yeah.
During Socrates.
Well, I love him. He's my spirit animal.
But
there's so much distance, and the way that they're portrayed is like they're all like so tight, but they weren't. They were very loosely connected, and they're also very fucking different. Socrates, Plato,
I remember that, yeah.
Plato, Socrates didn't write shit down, so everything that you know about Socrates is literally like words orally, written of by Plato, because Plato was a playwright.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of writing and a lot of shit like that.
Yeah, I remember reading more Plato than Socrates.
You don't read any Socrates, ever. He never put anything down.
I thought there's collections of like stuff.
That everything about Socrates, he's a character. And
is it written in Plato's?
It's Plato's words. So yeah, it's all Plato.
That makes more sense.
So the line gets really murky to tell who's Plato and who's Socrates. But when you read certain crucial books of Socrates, like the Apology, Credo, Euphrates, Phaedo, all those key books on his deathbed, they're Plato very well. Different from the Republic. The Republic is a pure Plato book.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think we mostly focused on the Republic when I remember going over when we were going over that portion of Western philosophy.
Yeah, and then what portion of Western philosophy at that point?
It was kind of like there's a lot of Western. That's the thing, is like I took probably like I think it was a year and a half of like general philosophy classes. And that's probably the last time I really strongly read like through a lot of books, and I continued that for maybe a couple years after. And then I turned 21.
And
now I don't remember anything. Yeah. Remember some things though.
For now, you can get shit back too when you start reading again.
Maybe
reading
helps. I mean, here's my theory: is that there's a cap, man. Like
cap.
Yeah, there's totally like a cap on your brain. It's like, yeah, I can remember a decent chunk of that. I'll remember that. That's interesting. That all of like Socrates' orations are collected by Plato. I didn't remember that, but. I think you can only hold so much information, and so it's like people are multifaceted, to say the least, and like I think you can only you have a certain like limit, right? There's only so many boxes you can fit on the shelf. Books that can go in the library, documents you can put in the file, etc.
There's only so many things you can hold in your hand.
Eggs in the basket.
But I think that I am continuously adding on rooms, and that I might not be able to hold everything that's in my house at the same time. And thank God.
Yeah.
Or thank nature, because if I could hold everything in my hands at the same time, I'd probably go mad.
Maybe I'd get tired, yeah.
So I'm grateful that.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I probably don't remember like some of my childhood, right? You know, I think that's a response. I think that's a response that's supposed to happen.
I'm grateful.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, that's the thing. As I learn more new things, you know, it's what really gets me is whatever's repetitious. You're more read than I am, for sure. Like, you read more consistently than I do.
And
so that whatever, it keeps it fresher on you. It's muscle reading. Memory.
Yeah. From the time I was probably about 15 until 22. 15 to 22.
Yeah.
I didn't read a fucking thing.
That's pretty much when I read the most, I think.
Nothing.
Yeah.
High school, college, I never studied.
I played a lot of games.
I never studied in college. I never studied in high school.
Same, yeah.
I didn't have to read. I got like a
3.5, though.
I wasn't reading at those time periods. All my reading was
pleasure. You know, I did in college. Do you know, I managed to get like 2.5 years of college done. I have no debt for it. And it's because, one, I'm poor.
So you got a grant.
Yeah, and then two, I managed to finesse all of my textbook, like, shit that I needed. Like, because I was good enough computers that I'm like, oh, I can find copies of these things that I need. And then I can also just take notes in class. Because most of the teachers there are, like, super lib, and they're like, free the students, and I'm just literally going to photocopy these textbooks and then hand out shit that I want you to read. You know, like, a lot of classes did that, honestly. And then if not, you could find somebody there that would be like, yo, I got you. Like, you know, I bought this, and I'll just book it and give copies to who can't afford it. You know, like, that's a thing. Because it's ridiculous. All information really should be free, but it's not, so what can you do?
I think people should be credited. Mm. So, all right, this will be an interesting line of conversation. Mm. I like what you just brought up here. So, in a society, where labor, so we're going to republic, since we're going to go back and we're going to do what Plato did in the Republic.
Can we talk about some besides Plato?
We're going to do what they did. We're not talking about what he said. We're going to do what they did. We're going to consider a society. We're making up a utopian society that hasn't existed yet.
Let's talk about Freddie Mercury.
And we're doing it with our own brains. Freddie Mercury's boring.
Excuse me.
I'm just kidding.
I'll kill you.
I love Queen.
And you do know I'm white, right?
That movie that came out with Bohemian Rhapsody that just came out 2 years ago, that dude with a really big fucking mouth. That movie was awesome. It was a really good movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, I'm not being serious.
Anybody out there, Freddie Mercury is amazing.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. No, so this utopian society, right? Like, fucking...
Oh, yeah.
We don't have to work for labor anymore. So if nobody has to work for labor anymore, if we're not working...
Like we could now, yeah.
We don't have to work for survival. There's no survival positions. Imagine maybe there's just fucking 1 billion robots
that we could do
all
that
the
now.
Tasks.
Yeah,
all the tasks.
I believe we could do that right now.
So the only thing that's left is creativity. You know, and maybe money's not exactly...
Or progress.
Yeah.
Operation of the things, the means of production.
Or insight, development, research. So all of a sudden, but maybe money, let's get rid of money, another abstract concept. And then maybe that's just a weird variable, but fuck it. But like, so you have creativity and no money. How do you value people's creations that they do come up with?
Like, I don't think you should value people's creations. I think people tend to measure art or creation in terms of the value. And that kind of takes away from the humanity of the acts in and of itself, you know?
Hey, I agree, honestly.
Yeah, people shouldn't constantly have to measure themselves to a goal of productivity. That's kind of a capitalistic...
You shouldn't worry how much your painting's worth, but how good it felt to make it.
Yeah, and you shouldn't even worry how good you are at something you do, you know?
Fuck yeah.
If you're engineering a building or cutting open someone's brain...
Maybe
you should. Yeah, you should worry about how good you are about what you do, but like I'm talking like, you know, within reason, right? Like you go draw a picture, you should be like, yeah, it shouldn't just be like this, like, oh, why am I drawing in the first place? I'm not good enough. I can't compete with all of this shit, and like, how am I gonna have a livelihood? I just went to school and now I'm $100,000 in debt. And like, I've seen many, many people experience that sort of emotional fallout, and I think it's just a problem with how we view
I could get behind that.
Yeah.
So,
but that's an ideal scenario. It's not what we live in. That's not what's
at the moment. Yeah. And because right now we value,
yeah,
and we value this monetary principle.
Yep.
Yeah. So
money.
So, that is confounding.
Bitcoin.
It's one of those things. Just give everybody artificial currency.
Yeah, I hope the UBI that gets enacted is only in Doge.
That was at the back of my brain. I was thinking about you just have everybody's, you don't have value anymore at all. You give everybody everything what they need, and then you let them create.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, I totally think that's something that could happen. I think the world is at a point where we could set up and achieve the infrastructure in order to do that. I was watching a really interesting video the other day that was just like this hypothetical video, and it's, you know, it's a hypothetical video, but it's based off of a real initiative that's currently happening in the Saharan Desert. It's very interesting. What they're doing is Africa, and I believe part of like Eastern Europe, are piling millions of dollars into research in order to look into setting up a solar array in the middle of the Saharan Desert. And the size of the solar array that they're going to be able to set up will be able to collect enough sun because of the nature of the Saharan Desert. It's very hot, and it's very bright all the time. All year, every day, all day, every day, every year. And so they're going to be able to power most of Africa and then be able to divert something like 15% of the energy needs of Europe. with an array is what they're looking at doing. And so there's certainly, we're advanced enough now that if we took smarter steps and initiatives, we could accomplish things like that, I feel like. But I don't think it's
gonna pay for it.
Yeah, it's like, how are you gonna do it? There has to be selfless.
On the nose, it's billions of dollars, perhaps trillions, for that much infrastructure. And on the nose, that could be scary. Yeah. And then you have those people who are already poor because they're in developing nations.
Yeah.
And then I bet you a lot of these companies who are coming in to build these infrastructural things are places like China.
Correct. Yeah.
Putting them into these weird binds. Did you hear about that road they built in the middle of Africa? This like huge 6-lane highway. I can't remember which country it was.
But I do not remember either.
But they went in and they built this huge road that just goes to nowhere. And then the country itself can't even pay for it. So
yeah, that's the thing. Like, the logistics of these things, you know. In principle, utopia is great.
But it's still, but no. Well, it's this. But it's because there's still a huge space between the ideal utopia and the practices that's happening currently. You know.
There's a.
And that awkward
there's
zone.
There's wicked people in the world, and there's greed.
So, a really nice quote that I always think about that I think relates to Sitch is, you like Karl Marx?
I have no idea.
Have you ever read you ever read the Communist Manifesto?
Oh, did you say Karl Marx?
Yes.
Who are you talking about? Marx? I hardly know her.
So, when I read the Communist Manifesto, the general idea that I got from him was that he had no fucking answers.
I bet that motherfucker smelled.
Maybe.
Yeah,
a lot of people showered back in the 1800s.
That's what I'm saying, though. But Karl Marx.
Anybody's.
You know, he was stinky. Didn't they send him to Siberia?
I'm not sure.
Was it for crimes of being stinky?
I doubt it.
But go on. Yeah.
But I don't think he had any fucking answers for what he thought this anti-capitalist model, because I think he was an anti-capitalist. I don't even think he was a communist at this point, in any way, shape, or form. I think the only thing he was preaching was that we need to get rid of this abstract concept known as money. You have to get rid of the money in the first place. And I think he had vague, there's a couple vague things where he thought that maybe you could take the capital, and I think it was almost as a transitory step, but I don't think that was the end model, at least from my feelings when I was reading it.
Yeah.
But there's this one thing that he said near the end where he said that to make an anti-capitalist model is like learning a new language. In order to learn a new language, you have to completely forget your mother tongue. Because when you first start learning a new language, your first instinct is to transcribe. So every time you get...
Your hose calling, you know.
Every time you get to a point where you take that one word... and you have to put it back into an old language again, and you translate it. When you know the new language in totality, you don't translate it anymore.
You have that direct association.
There's no association. At that point, you've made a new mode of schema. Speaking.
Yeah,
a new schema completely, and now you're speaking in the new language. So
you
said,
think in it, you know, you run with it.
So, and he said, when you've learned the new language... you're no longer you've forgotten the old one. you've completely forgotten the old one. Mm-hmm. So, and he was relating that to thinking of a new political system. So to make an anti-capitalist model, when you first start to get rid of capital, you have to translate through that capital system.
Yeah.
And when you've gotten to the end goal, hopefully when you get to a new mode, you know, you're no longer translating it in the capitalist way of thinking anymore. Like, there's that awkward little stitch. I'm going to pause real quick. All right, this is probably kind of awkward. We had to take a little intermission, but we're back, and we're just going to go right into a brand new fucking topic.
True.
So I think we kind of hit that one. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about art before we move on, actually, to a completely new topic.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of things do you like to make?
Music.
All right. What segment of music? What do you work with? What do you get into? What intrigues you? I know that's just a lot of questions.
Grew up playing orchestra, and then I went to jazz.
What instrument?
I used to play cello and trombone.
Okay.
And then I played... I started playing guitar when I was about 11, and then I played in jazz ensemble throughout middle school and high school, and then into college, where it was going to be my...
Did you ever do marching?
Minor, no.
Me and Justin did marching band.
Yeah, I know y'all played in band and then march, and fucking Justin did jazz. Mm-hmm.
I did jazz too.
Did you do jazz? What did you play? Trumpet?
I did sax.
Oh, you guys both play? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah,
I did tenor. I did tenor. He was on baritone, and then I played baritone senior year.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, sax is... I never really played too many wind instruments. I only played, like, trombone for a little bit. It was never really my thing. I'm better with my hands.
I got my bass back here. I got a baritone right there.
Yeah, I can play bass. Okay.
Bass guitar right there. I got my sax right there.
Is that a baritone sax or a baritone?
It's a baritone.
Like a baritone guitar?
Just baritone.
What's a baritone?
You see it?
Is it like a wind or a horn?
Yeah, it's a brass.
Okay, I think I might know what you're talking about. Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah, I've seen these.
Fucking haunted.
Yeah, they're really cool. That's old as tits. That's old 60s. Brass. Yeah, that's really cool.
It's a really weird shape. They don't shape them like this anymore.
That's really dope.
Right? I used all the mouthpieces for pipes when I was a dumbass high schooler. So
you can restore that stuff, though.
Oh, yeah. I plan on it. I'm gonna make it really pretty.
Let me know if you need help with that. I do work on instruments.
Please.
Yeah.
We should do that. That would just be a fun project in general.
Yeah, I want to try and fix a clarinet my mom got me soon.
Every single thing I own. Everything in my possession right now. Every fucking thing needs work. All of it. Everything I have. And I have a couple pieces. My ballet lake is behind you. I have a trumpet. Yeah, they all need love bad.
You know, that is the nature of things.
So, what are you doing? Are you recording music? What kind of, or have you thought about it?
I hate music.
Suck it. What instruments do you currently have in your possession at home?
Oh, I don't. I've lost track. I have a lot.
You have a lot? Mm-hmm. And you have your mic, right?
I have a few mics, yeah.
Have you recorded yourself play? Even just
bits, oh, yeah.
Practicing and sampling?
Mm-hmm. I have hundreds of demos.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Tell me more about that.
Music.
I want to hear some of it. Have you mashed yourself together, or do you just do solos?
A lot of them are ideas. I have a lot of ideas. I have a lot of stuff sitting around. I have a lot of samples. I have a lot of instruments. I have a lot of equipment. I'm getting a PA system. I'm really interested in, like, most facsimiles. What if that's me this time? Or is that... It is me this time.
It is.
Savage. Yeah, but no. I saw this meme the other day, and it was like my parents in their 30s, and it's like two people, and they're up against a house, and it's like I can't remember what it said. It's like, let's buy a house, and it's like me in my 30s, and it's like I spent tens of thousands of dollars on musical equipment based off of things I heard on the internet, and it's like that's how I feel.
Yeah. You have a lot of musical equipment.
Yeah, for the better part of 15 years.
Could you help make music for my show?
Oh yeah, I could. Yeah.
You want to make me intro jingle?
And like a depends on what jingle? You want.
Yeah. I should come over and we should just play.
Sure. Yeah.
And just play around. We should make some goofy shit.
Yeah.
I would like, if you want, just maybe we can come together and make some like 15, 20, 30 second minute jingles.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even mind having different shit every time and like just like, you know.
Yeah, no, you can even just find sound bites or do something.
We should do that.
We'll figure out something.
Make this a little bit more interesting because I'm just doing these single takes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can help me break it up and we can make segments.
Sure. Yeah. No. I can help you throw it out and come up with something.
I can help you out some way and pay you back. Help to help.
Oh no, definitely. You're welcome to come over and
much better. I'm just paying you.
I have stuff. Yeah, I have people now that I'm probably going to be getting over pretty soon that are going to pay me for.
Well, I'll pay you
for stuff. You don't have to worry about it. You're a friend. Yeah. No, but I have other people now. I'm getting to the process of. Basically running a studio pretty soon here, and now I have.
And then you can rent it out to people, and then you can make money.
Yeah, yeah.
You can make money.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, yeah. I'm getting older and getting more experience and realizing that my hobbies that I've maintained for so long.
You're completely gray now, Micah.
I know. I'm like 50. I feel 50.
I didn't even recognize you when you walked in. Truly.
I did shave, yeah.
Yeah. You did shave.
Yeah, I did.
It looks good.
Yeah. Well, it's hot. It's very hot out. Yeah, I have to work outside. I've been working outside a lot.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah,
my arms, you can see. They're red, but then I can't. You can't hike up that far for you.
That's fine.
You have to buy me dinner first.
I refuse. You have to strip first, then I'll pay dinner.
Not at the same time? I've heard of some strip clubs where you get like a steak dinner
at the restaurant. You have to strip outside the restaurant in front of everybody else too.
Chicken wings and titties is gonna be our rap group name.
It's possible.
We can change the topic now.
Okay.
It's too much. It's just too much now. No. What were we? I can't remember what we were talking about.
I wanted to get all douchey and doofy because that's what I do a lot.
That happens.
We'll switch it up again.
Again.
Human relationships. What are the differences between unconditional and conditional human relationships? Like, how would you do? You see?
I believe that there is no such thing as unconditional human relationship. Everything relies on condition.
And what do you consider a condition? What would you define a condition as?
I don't know. That's a good question. I would have to ask that of you because you're asking me the question.
Okay. Well, I can only express myself. So I would never want to say that I'm putting words in your mouth, but I can do that. I would consider a condition like to an extent, a portion of my love for my son is based on the condition that I have to keep him alive. Even at that point, if you want to, in a way, there's shades of gray even in that context. And I see so many shades of gray across the board. I would never want to label anything black and white in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to keeping him alive, there's so many weird ways you have to approach so many situations that would be considered love. But there's still some sort of conditions you have to apply to.
Yeah.
Whereas there's also a general form of love, and I can't think of the word out there, and I think it was like apagesia, some Greek word. Fuck, I'm going to look it up. I think that was really interesting. I'll do another show on it some other time.
Yeah.
But there's general forms of love, too, that I feel you can hold a general love towards somebody and a condition toward a love towards somebody as well. I think, and I don't think
you've ever been to a glory hole.
This is not sexual in any way.
I know, I'm joking. This is,
you know.
I just remembered you're like talking about your son too. Yeah, no, but anyways, I was thinking of other things.
So like, and I've got when it comes to our species, even I have this. There's a general love I feel for my neighbor, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna say that everybody feels exactly the way I feel. And I would never.
Yeah, but you like to. I'm imagining you try to take the attitude of treating most people well.
I try to.
You know, most people are humans.
Because I care.
I mean, everybody's genuinely a human.
I genuinely care. You know? Yeah. And a lot of the times, like, shitty. I come off as a lecturer, heckler, and I don't have any place to do that either. You know, it's not like I have the right to lecture anybody. I'm still a baby. You know, we're both still pretty young, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Especially in the grand scheme of a lot of other people out there. And there's a lot, like, there's...
Yeah, my mom's, like, 68.
Yeah, and there's some very wise older people out there that scare me and intimidate me because of, like, there's some older people you come in contact with and just, like, you're like, okay. Like, sensei. You know, I get that feeling a lot with some, especially, like,
you know. I don't know. Yeah. I think maybe because I was raised by a really much older... Both of my parents are pretty old.
Yeah.
Both of them are in their 60s. My mom's going to be 70, like, in a couple of years, so...
That's your mother.
Yeah, I kind of had... Yeah, it's my mom, yeah, so, yeah. Like, every day. So I have a little bit of a different perspective. Like, her mom was in the Dust Bowl and shit. So, like, they're old people. Jeez. Yeah, like, so I have, like, pottery from her mom that's, like, from 1902. Huh. Like, we have books in our house, and I'll show you when we come over. We have books from 1850s. From the early 1800s on our shelves. We have some really, really cool stuff.
Dude, totally.
Yeah, I can show you some cool shit. There's some cool shit lying around.
That sounds
I like amazing. Your cool shit, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate but, that. I get, on what you're saying, yeah. And that's the thing, is like, there is selfless acts, right? Like, you would die for your son. Like, I would die for my family. I would die for my friends, usually, right?
I definitely know that I couldn't live with myself if I didn't do everything I could to save my son in that situation.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and in any situation, and like, I'm saying that as, like, an extremity to illustrate the point of, like, people can be selfless, which, you know, you I'd say you argue that as unconditional. I'd say that is unconditional. About the worst thing, as far as we know, as humans, that we can do is die.
Yeah.
You know, that's not fun.
As far as sacrifice goes,
you know, you don't, if you're not alive anymore, there's no bigger sacrifice that you could give.
Yeah.
Right? Unless, you know, you, like, were, you know, I don't know, stopping a nuke from launching on the world or some shit.
Or physically grabbing it.
Yeah, or something, yeah. But you know what I mean. So, you know, I guess that's unconditional. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like...
Sacrifice.
See, like,
would you say that sacrifice would be an example of unconditional love?
When people
are martyrs.
Yeah, but then, see, my thing is, like, martyrism, right, or martyrdom would be the word. Like, there's people, and I'm inclined to say I would agree with this argument that I've heard before. It's a selfless, you could say it's a selfless act, but in reality, it's a selfish act. Because the motivation for that martyrdom comes from the own gratification and self-interest of the individual. You, and like this, like, let's look cold face, like, from an evolutionary, like, totally analytical standpoint. And this is where I'm going. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Dude. This isn't what I necessarily agree with.
No, man, this is valuable, like, information.
You could say, like, someone who, like, would die for their family member would only be doing it because of their own belief system, right? Like, they believe
God told them to.
Yeah, or because they believe it's, well, like, you know, you just, like, a lot, most people believe it's morally right to sacrifice yourself for somebody you love. But there are people out there who don't. You know, there's, like, sociopaths out there who don't believe that, and they only believe in the self. Yeah, you know,
they're at the center of the universe.
Yeah, you know, and like, so, and relativism certainly kind of dictates in those situations, in my opinion, so I don't really know. I think there is, like, I would say that that's an unconditional thing, because it's like, who the fuck wants to die? Like, that's not something I would want to have happen. If I could avoid dying, I would prefer to.
And I've always been confused by the martyr. Because
you have so religious much, martyrdom is really weird.
You have so much more ability to affect people while you're alive. So unless your death literally causes a movement that causes a religion like the Jesus.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. There have been cases of that happening. Like, look, well, you know, like,
Jesus did that.
So, well, like, I mean, Gandhi's, look what happened with the fucking Columbine shooters. What did they do to America? They set up decades of fear. Really bad problems.
And my son's doing fucking lockdown shits in daycare. Bro, we like, grew up with lockdown shit. We grew up with that fear. Whereas
I don't remember doing school shooter stuff.
I
remember in high school doing that.
We did lockdown stuff all the way through elementary school. But I grew up in the South. I had the South's a little
different. Yeah, we didn't do it here, man. Like we had like fire drill. That was it. Yeah. And then I think I remember they started doing school shooter shit in like maybe like middle school, yeah. I think, because there was more stuff. I remember probably middle school. I remember I remember that chick, one of the survivors, actually came and talked.
No shit.
Yeah, she was doing that little thing. That's just
fear porn.
Like, yeah, it was a little depressing.
Yeah, just a little deadpan. Yeah. She wasn't that funny.
What was her name? It's called Ask Alex or something. Alice. Yeah, do you know what I'm talking about? Is it Ask Alice?
Is it? That sounds,
it's some shit like that. It. You know what I'm talking about? And it's
maybe.
Like, there's like a little letter pamphlet thing handed out. That shit sucks. Granted, I think that would have probably kind of happened anyways. I think the school shooter type phenomenon, public shooting phenomenon, is obviously a much deeper problem than just like the Kleboids or whatever the fuck, Dylan Kleboid and whoever the other Doom guy's name was, I can't remember. But but certainly they set a pretty strong principle down to like people who are like influenced by their fucking aesthetic. Like people like match their aesthetic. Like that's a thing. Like, you know, there's people who like worship them and shit. You know? Like it's stylized. You know, and they like shot up a bunch of people. It's really weird. It's really, really odd. And that happened here. You know, that happened we could go drive there in like an hour and a half, bro.
I know.
It's so crazy. Yeah, it's really crazy.
I like true crime stuff, and you know, the kind of true crime I get intrigued by the serial killer shit. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because I'm not good with blood and gore. I love horror. Big horror, fan of horror.
Or horror.
Horror.
I like horror.
Yeah, of course you do. Michael loves horrors.
No.
No, but like Stephen King. You're the only horror I love Stephen King because he's really not that gory. He does get gory sometimes, but
I like his movies, man. See, I've only read a couple books by him.
But most of his stuff is not blood and gore. It's not.
It's really there's a term for it.
Psychological.
There's psychological, and then there's another term for it, and it's called something else, and you would like it. It's like. It's like dimensional horror or something, but it's like
he depicts insanity. He depicts people. Yeah,
it's like fourth wall stuff, insanity, monsters that aren't like just monsters. They're like otherworldly, you know, like the Dark Tower series, and then is it the World Eater? Like
kind of like Cthulhu, you know, and it's all bound together in the Dark Tower.
Yeah, I'll send it to you sometime if I can remember it.
Yeah, but. I'm not big into the blood part. I like the psychological aspect. I like how he depicts. Same. I like how he depicts sanity. So,
do you like Kubrick?
I have some. I haven't read them yet. I just bought some. He's on my shelf.
Oh, movies.
Kubrick.
Stanley
Maybe
Kubrick.
I'm thinking of somebody different then.
Are you into movies? Are you a movie guy?
A little bit.
Yeah. I'll show you really good ones. I'll show you some good ones. Kubrick's. You know, he. It's like. You ever have a soda before, bro? You like Coca-Cola? That's trite. You can slap me if you want to.
With a Coca-Cola?
With a Coca-Cola, preferably.
For a Stanley Kubrick movie? I'm confused.
Have you ever seen Clockwork Orange?
I have.
That shit's crazy.
Is that Kubrick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then I have seen Kubrick.
Yeah.
Can you give me more examples?
The Shining.
Okay,
That's Kubrick. The Shining a lot. See, that's like one of my favorite movies.
I've never focused on fucking directors.
I understand.
So
this I have. This it's kind of like authors this, is my
it's
thing.
What you're, okay, you can teach me more about this.
Yeah. Well,
so
you can.
So as we watch movies, you can teach me about their influence, and you can tell me more because I honestly have never thought about it. So
we'll watch the movies. Yeah. No, I only know some. I have friends who are way bigger film buffs too. Mm-hmm. Film's weird.
But, yeah. To wrap back a little bit, so when it comes to the whole serial killer aspect and all that kind of stuff with true crime and all that, what intrigues me isn't, and this will tie back into your point because it's what related me about it, was how people do romanticize these killers and people who romanticize these gory events who are attracted to these weird events, you know? That aspect of it, it's never been about what they did for me. What intrigues me about the whole serial killer and the whole true crime business is I'm trying to figure out where they lost it, you know? Like, or were they always broken? A lot of times, maybe some of those people, they feel like they were truly broken. And some of these events that happen do feel like truly fucking broken. But a lot of shit, there's lots of gray. And I'm not ever trying to defend people. I think a lot of these people, when you take a life and you do that kind of shit, it's like, I'm never romanticizing it. And there's some bitches out there who, like, would literally still fucking, like, suck Ted Bundy off. Like, you know, like...
True.
And it's like, what the fuck? You know, like, that shit... That doesn't make any sense to me, where, like, people, like, are attracted to it, and, like, that's fucking weird, you know?
Yeah, I don't really get the prison wife and husband thing. That's really crazy to me in general. But,
any of it, you know? Yeah. Or, like, people who watch horror, and they're like, oh, yeah, I would like to be dope. There. Like, yeah. What?
Well, I like... So here's my thing. Like, I don't watch gore, but I do like gory horror movies. Like, I'll watch gory horror movies and be like, haha.
So like, cool. there's a humor aspect to it?
It depends, right?
I'm so fucking queasy with it.
So there's certain movies that use gore appropriately to actually create, you know, like, suspense and actual horror that's, like, good. And, like...
What is human? I know it's human. We're war creatures. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, there's good usage of that in a lot of different movies where, like, it aids and it's not just, like, masturbatory, I guess. You know, it's not just like...
Did you just say masturbatory?
Yeah, masturbatory.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's
funny. It's not just like fucking, you know, tugging yourself and being like...
You have blood everywhere. There's this what?
But then there are movies that are like that, where it's just like... You know, like blood and guts, and like that's cool too. Like, I think...
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. I think a lot of shit can be cool. It just depends. You just gotta, like, decide. Watch it and decide if you like it or not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can see, you know? Like,
and at the end of the day, it's not about the material itself.
Yeah.
It's not about...
I've seen, like, movies that are not cool. Like, there's movies that, like, are gore that are, like, not chill. Like, real gore,
and too. And they make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course.
So there is a line that people have. There's, and maybe that line's
just... Yeah, there's, like, shitty... But, like, you watch the Saw movie and you're like, oh, he had a bear trap on his head and it got squished.
I don't like those things.
See, I understand, but, like, to me, I'm like, it doesn't bother me, so I'm just like, oh, crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the Final Destination movies, those are great. Those are ridiculous as fuck, and those are gory.
They're very culty too.
That's the thing. Like a lot of gore that I end up like I'm like cool with is really campy shit. Yeah, like Evil Dead. That's great. Yeah, see, that's good. That's good shit. Yeah, great series of fucking movies.
Really,
I like Bruce Campbell. Fucking, you know, like shit. See, like shit like that's great. But like Saw's not a good series of movies. Like,
it's not based on its writing on how well they did.
No, I'd say the first one I can be like, you know, like that's cool because like at the time it was a pretty fresh idea and the guy who directed it seemed like a promising director, and then he made other things that were not good and I can't remember what they were. And like the first one's pretty solid, actually pretty solidly written. A little goofy. Mm-hmm. It's a goofy movie, but it's like not unbearable. And then like, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 aren't really anything that you need to bother watching. Mm-hmm. You know, but that goes for a lot of like horror movies. Really suffer from sequelitis.
Sequelitis.
We heard that before.
Because they make money on.
Yeah, like Call of Duty syndrome.
It's just like the bang. They got a hit.
Yeah,
they fucking
keep going.
Yeah, hit it again
and again. Yeah. Keep rocking the bowl back and forth. Did you hand this to me?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
It's your turn.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't grab this from the floor.
That'd be great. What is spirituality to you?
Something I ignore entirely. I'm a scientist.
Okay, why?
Well, so, I'm lying.
All right.
Go on.
I accept. But here's how I respond, even if you're being completely upfront. I would consider science a form of spirituality.
That's insane, man.
So I once heard this definition that I attached to, and it said that spirituality is any belief in something outside yourself, whether that's E equals MC squared or God, because even mathematics requires a certain degree of faith, because you have to believe in the system for it to have meaning to you. I disagree. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I disagree with you. You're wrong.
But it's the fact that with anything that's scientific, unless you're making your observations, which I am very jealous of people who are active scientists. Yeah. I think it's amazing because I don't do any active science. I haven't done ever any measurement that has enlightened my world or spread an ability to have movable effects on our physical world like some working scientists have had. Yeah. You know?
You never did any science class like projects?
How much of that shit has ever affected my fucking life?
You never know, man.
Maybe one day. Maybe one little fucking thing.
Deductive and inductive reasoning are pretty important.
But I've also learned a lot of inductive reasoning from being able to see story patterns and complete narrative fictions and try to guesstimate human behaviors and actions, which you can do through discourse and conversations.
So is writing a science?
Maybe. But I just see so many shades of gray. But my point is that unless you're doing the direct observations and studies and you're doing things that affect your life, all of the scientific knowledge you have, you accept from somebody else. And that's human because we're social creatures. But most of my scientific knowledge was read or seen.
Yeah.
Same. You know? So there's a certain degree of faith in that, you know? And that I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's arguing the point, you know? Like, there's a certain degree of faith that you're not a hallucination for me right now, and that I'm not pretending all of this is happening in my basement.
I agree, too.
Yeah, so...
I agree with
like,
that as well.
But, like, that's just solipsism, right? You know? So, like, I get that. But I would make the argument that spirituality operates differently than science, or at least what the intention of science is. I think the intention of science is kind of like probability.
It's to give meaning, to
an approximation of meaning. Like a good scientist realizes any sort of hypothesis that they develop into a theory.
And even Christianity wasn't trying to give meaning before there was real ability to make observation movable through technology.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the quintessential thing. And like, I don't entirely agree that like all spiritualism is just people going like ooga booga. This is what is going on. Yeah, like I think spirituality and science can exist independently and interdependently with each other.
You can
be an atheist and be spiritualistic. I'm an atheist and I'm spiritualist.
And you can be a scientist who believes the Earth is flat, because I've seen them.
Yeah, you can definitely do that. Yeah.
So you know, my mom
used to work at New Life Church. Have you heard of that church?
Before? Vaguely, I've heard a couple of people reference it. It's kind of woohoo, right?
It's pretty woohoo. Yeah, it's pretty woohoo. But like fucking she got fired by the guy who was the pastor there. And back in the day, like maybe 2007 or so, he had a big scandal here because he got found out he was having good old gay sex and like meth with hookers. Yeah, no, with hookers at least. Okay. You know, it's like, he had a wife and kids. And
here's the thing. At least it wasn't the altar boys.
No, but he was super anti, like, homosexual. Like, he was very conservative and very adamant about how that is a bad thing, and it was just a bad time, and then the church, you know, had to fire him, and it was just a big ordeal, and somehow he's still with his wife, I guess. I went to his house once. My point being is that you can be the pastor of a mega church and snort meth and have gay butt sex. So there's a lot of different things that can exist in this world. But all of that, I feel like, is under the net of observation that you have as a human.
Right. So what worries me is that I see it like, you know that, I can't remember what mythology it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You know the dude that has the faces on all the sides where it's like one head, but there's four faces in each cardinal direction. So as the thing moves around, you see each different face.
A dreidel?
That's how I see all bits of belief. Whether it's
sign. There's a character in Adventure Time that looks like that.
I think that kind of...
He's like a space god. He's the Martian, like, spaceman guy.
But all the faces are trying to give a shade of comfort through explaining what life is. You know, different methods, different ways, different, you know, whatever. You know, but they're all just trying to... It's all just different explanations. What concerns me is that you could have a spiritualist who is maybe a flat earther, an anti-vaxxer through their whatever beliefs because they've...
Sounds like my aunt.
Because they've rejected authoritative explanation, which is mainstream or scientific explanation. So now you've shifted these working scientists who are people just working their everyday lives, doing their jobs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden these people have shifted into this...
Have radicalized
this
views.
Authority bubble. And so now the scientists are in the same school of thought as these bad authority figures. Mm-hmm. So now they've rejected it. And then you also have people who...
Those are anomalies within that community, though.
But then you also have people within the scientific community... Who
yeah, but that's the thing about science is like it's about a majority, right? So it's like you can have people who like end up having opinions that are not necessarily something you'd say is correct. Like the Earth is not
flat.
The Earth is not flat.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be
that's
very,
not a thing that's real.
I think it's very unlikely. It's one
pretty.
Of the, it's one of the most unlikely things I could pick out of my bucket of unlikely things. Like
it is literally so fucking observed that the Earth is not flat. There are so many things that can't exist without it not.
But does it...
But, like...
That person with that belief, there's still active scientists who are doing...
Yeah.
Forms of science who hold that belief.
There's people who hold, like, political office that, like, fucking have schizophrenia or, like, have sex with children and shit. Yep. And, like, you know, like,
the point is, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But the person pointing a finger and bastardizing the other person's belief, even if it's in with it ever school, because you also have people within that majority school. And so I've seen this, and I know I brought up Flat Earth quite a bit, and if anybody is actually following my podcast, they've heard this trope quite a bit in like the past couple ones, just because I'm on this running experiment. I've joined quite a few Flat Earth groups, and I've had a lot of conversations with
these people. I've been in a couple before. That one that you just put me in was insane.
It's nice. Fantastic.
Yeah,
so
it's pretty good.
In the FSE, which is the Flat Earth Society, FES or whatever, it's one of the older ones.
Yeah.
3/4 of this group are not believers. Like, I swear.
Yeah.
That 3 out of 4 of the people of this 80,000 person group
are just there to
shit on other people's beliefs.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that one added me in is pretty policed.
So the biblical one is one where most of them are believers, and I wanted you to see the difference.
Yeah, I'm glad I said
two
something.
Communities.
Yeah, I feel like I'm slithering in.
It's
there's some people in there.
Did you read some of their ideas?
I've been reading some stuff as it comes up. Yeah, dude. No, I saw. I remember the one I commented on and that you like liked. Like when I saw that, I forgot I was in the group and I was like, oh my fucking God. I was like, holy shit, bro. People literally are like, yeah. Yeah. And like,
but
yeah, it, yeah, no, there's literally people walking around that are like, yep.
But does it matter?
Yeah, it does. I'd say it matters. That's something that should be...
I don't think it does.
I
defend them so often.
Like, look, I totally believe people should have the right to believe whatever the hell
whatever
they want to believe.
Fuck, even if they wanted to go be
but
stupid
there is
shit.
Such a thing as like violence or like not good information that can be disseminated
but,
and like stuff like Flat Earth.
Flat Earth isn't being pushed on anybody.
It was. Flat Earth theory is a part.
Nobody's believing that. Nobody's
no way,
taking
dude.
That
No, I swear to God, you should. I'll send you a couple of documentaries that are pretty interesting. Like, I feel like a lot of the radicalization that has happened in America, because keep in mind, like, Flat Earth is very much Westernly centered. Like, Flat Earth, a lot of people that are Flat Earthers are American and white. It's very related to like Q movement and to like Trumpers and to all sorts of really kooky, beliefs.
It's also bound to anti-vaxxers, and a lot of these aren't Trumpers. A lot of those were very liberal. A lot of the hippie don't want to feed your kids, the vegan movement. A lot of these biblical ones are also connected to the vegan movement, too.
Yeah, there's so a lot of different.
It's hard to attach it to one to the other.
There's really odd people in this world.
It comes down to just rejection of authority. That's who you're defining. There's
a lot of rejection of authority. That's a pretty central theme.
And how do you define your authority? And I just see them as working people. I think scientists are workers. I think there's people who are working their jobs who are just loving their work. And I'm very. If I was a scientist and being able to go do active observations and affect my reality, do you know how happy I would be? And this is Mr. Doubtful.
So you do that every day.
Uber skeptic. Yeah, but I'm not. But you do things physically, intuitively. There's people in volcanoes and with crazy telescopes. And
true. Yeah, you're not like shooting X-rays at diamonds and shit.
Those are the crazy people stuff. Doing yeah. amazing things.
There's shit that's downright alchemy that exists. Yeah. There. Yeah, it's insane.
That's magic.
Yeah, like, and so that's what I'm saying is like the bleeding edge of what our understanding of the nature of the universe is certainly doesn't leave much for us to claim that we know really anything
about nothing. But at the same time, it's really pretty, and that's really cool.
It is really cool. But here's what I'm saying. We do know some things, and we can say what we do know. We don't, like, people tend to get ahead of themselves, and, you know, kind of jump to conclusions, I feel like. But, like, we've certainly seen things that are pretty bonkers that, you know, make you think about stuff. You ever watch the Tic Tac videos? You seen those? Those are crazy.
The Tic Tac videos. I don't think I have. You're going to have to show me this.
Those are, you know, that's crazy. There's a lot of stuff happening. A lot of really crazy
Tic Tac. Like the candy?
Mints. No, they're like UFO videos. But they're like UFO videos that have been disseminated by the military. Like by the U.S. military. By like the Pentagon.
Are you talking about it was like 200 videos that got unleashed?
Yeah, like they had an investigation and like some 140 some cases. It's really interesting shit, actually.
I listened to a couple. There's this one dude who's debunking a lot of them.
I've seen that. I don't know how you debunk some of them though. Like the Tic Tac one is pretty weird.
Yeah,
it's pretty weird. This thing turns on a dime and like literally locates itself like 60 miles away in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes a 90 degree turn that would physically kill a person.
He was just showing how a lot of these camera tricks, like especially most of it. So,
camera tricks.
The weird, not active people making CGI. It's not fakes. It's just the cameras that are located on a lot of these airplanes and the air patterns. And like how the light bounces off cloud formations, like there's from at least what I was listening to, and I'm not the person making these observations.
It's
all secondhand.
Yeah, no, I'm just listening.
But he was just basically I think he's a photographer or some shit. And he was just basically explaining how you can get these effects by just taking pictures at the right time.
Yeah, I believe that too.
And so all of the released footage all came from Air Force. It was all people flying over the ocean.
Yep.
And the fact that there has been like zero sightings from any other branches.
Why'd they see it?
Why were none of the other government branches reporting anything?
Reporting. What do you mean?
Why was there not any other classified footage? Because all the stuff that ended up in those UFO boxes back in the 70s, the only reason that they showed up in those boxes, the only reason they were loaded as classified, because they couldn't figure out what it was, is because the Air Force people who were looking at the footage when they got back with the tapes, because they would look through the tapes and be like, that's weird. And the only reason they got classified in the first place is because they couldn't explain what it was. And so you don't know.
I know what you're talking about.
Why the footage got classified in the first place.
I'm talking about the Tic Tac one specifically.
That one
specifically, I'll have to show you. That one's really interesting.
Yeah. There's 200 videos that got classified. And then
there's a lot of stuff that has been declassified. It was a part of a bigger thing that happened with this last bill. It was like 6 months ago.
Yeah,
and a bunch of military documents got, you know, dagged basically and fucking. But No, I think I know what you're talking about. And I can totally agree with that, especially back in the day.
I'm not really sure. This is all secondhand from my one.
Yeah, no, from someone like, yeah, I get it. Yeah, no. I'm fascinated with this shit mostly because it's like the Tic Tac thing. That's like a fighter jet from like the mid 2010s.
Okay, so it's not a candy.
No, it's like state of the art, multi-million dollar.
So now we're back into a connection point where I know what's going on.
I'll send you the video. This one's different.
I was talking about UFOs.
Yeah, I am too. this is a really crazy video. This guy's like a respected fucking member in the fucking Air Force. He's like he's either a colonel or some lieutenant or a captain or something like that. But he was leading like a test flight with a couple other of these fighter jets, and like they saw this thing, and like they all witnessed this thing, and this thing like danced around them and circled them, and they like tracked it with these cameras. And these cameras, keep in mind, like are state of the art, like fucking high, like as high end fucking Air Force as like tech
kid.
Yeah,
and as what, like and they what year do. Was this? Was it this year?
No, this originally this video was released maybe a few years ago, I think.
But still in the 2000s.
Yeah, in the late 2000s. It was like I think the video was recorded in like 2012 or something like that, but it was in the 2000s.
Not
in
like
the,
yeah.
Yeah, and like they have footage of this thing like zipping away, and like this thing is like something like 60 or 100 miles away, if I remember correctly, that's in like a few seconds. Cool. Yeah, it's really fascinating. And like, as a part of this dissemination of information in the Tic Tac shit, there's other videos to this extent that basically they set up an organization to investigate all of these UFO, these aerial phenomenon claims, and that they legitimately had like very privatized, very funded, like research teams in the military looking into like these accounts and like these reports that were happening. And what they found was that 143 of them were genuine occurrences that they could not explain.
That's interesting.
Like with any known sort of technology.
Yeah.
It's really spooky shit. Like if it's actually, there's two options, right? It's either aliens
or another country
and I think it's scarier if it's another country. Yeah, because that's like a revolutionary thing to discover, if someone had the ability to have a aerial like craft that could do that,
right?
That would be insane. That would be like future fucking like Jetsons bullshit.
Yeah,
and then they'd put a nuke on it immediately. That's the first thing that would happen, and they'd be like, we're taking everything now.
It's just like,
that's what would happen.
It comes down to solidarity, and if you have things that have that much capacity, it's scary.
True. Or mutually assured destruction.
No,
that's another thing. That's how the Cold War happened.
Not mad.
Yeah, dude.
Alright
now the only thing keeping me from watching a nuke inside this room
is your personal nuke. Is just too fucking hard to get to that button.
Yeah, it's very far away. It's a big button.
All right, Micah. I think we're almost at an hour and a half.
Yeah, I think we killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was fun.
No, it wasn't.
We had some good topics.
I hated them.
You did good.
I'm not your dog.
You had a good time. I did want to mention at the very beginning that Micah looks like Aslan.
Aslan.
From Narnia. He has a luxurious mane.
Mm.
That falls upon his shoulders.
He's crinkly and brittle.
Yeah.
Falling out. My eyes bulging.
Yeah. Great mustache. He had a wonderful beard that has been chopped off, as we discussed
earlier. It is gone now. Yeah. But now I have neck.
This is real world mystical lion man. And like...
And again, the ginger man.
Yeah. He's fantastic to talk to. I'm really grateful to have him here. Mm-hmm. And I just... Thank you... Thanks for doing this with me, man.
Mm. Like, seriously, thank you.
I appreciate your time. I appreciate it a lot.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
I appreciate this show, and I appreciate gingerbread cookies.
Oh, we should make some. I think I have a house somewhere.
I don't want to do that. I actually don't really like gingerbread cookies. All right. I was just saying that to have a nice outro for your show, but then you had to get all serious about it and shit.
We're going to make a gingerbread house now. If I don't have one now, we have to go to the store and go get products.
Accept that.
Okay.
Okay with that.
When I get tunes on the show, this is the guy who helped me manufacture that shit. Good night.